we need to start addressing the buyer lead acquisition, what I would consider is epidemic, and we need to start focusing on how do we generate more listings. And so that's what Fellow's really mission is centered around.
Welcome to Cash Call, the number one real estate sales podcast, where we cover real sales skills in real time, as well as industry vendors, lead providers, CRMs, websites, and top producing teams and agents across North America, all so that you can improve your business in 30 minutes at a time. Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming back again, Dale Archdeacon. Brian Curtis is not here today, but I do have an amazing special guest for you guys today. His name is Ryan Young of the Young Team out of Ohio. He's also the founder of Fellow. So we're going to be discussing Fellow today and the amazing listing generation tool that it is that you should be using in your business today. Ryan, thanks so much for joining me today on Cash Call, man. I really appreciate it. I know you're a crazy busy guy. For those of you who don't know who Ryan is, let me introduce him real quick. So he's Ryan Young. He's the CEO of the Young Team, which they are the number one large team in Ohio and the number 15 in Real Trends for real estate sales. They've been a top 100 KW team for years now. And this is some really impressive stuff that I didn't know. That Ryan actually launched Flash House back in 2020, which is an iBuyer in Northeast Ohio. And you guys have sold over 500 homes and counting so far. And now you've launched Fellow. So thanks for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and I'm super excited to be here. And Flash House was an acquisition platform, so we actually bought it. Different from the retail real estate team, but we had a little appetite to all of a sudden start buying residential real estate. We were buying, 15, 20 homes a month, started spending six figures a month direct to consumer. We want to buy your home, instant offer, cash offer. So, we had the retail division, then we had the software, and then we were doing the acquisitions all kind of simultaneously.
That's excellent, man. So I would say you probably know something about generating listing and or seller inquiries. And now you guys have founded Fellow in 2022, right? And you guys are being used by the top 100 of the Real Trends.
Yeah, 100%. We are, we're 18 months in. We've got 1,200 teams on the platform, and it's, seeing 100 plus every month. And we work with the best of the best, all the, top 1,000s, the top tens of, every big brokerage. So it's one of those things that I know we'll dive deeper on it, but it's like people want seller leads, they want listings, and we kind of like really jumped into the space almost 2 years ago of saying like we need to start addressing the buyer lead acquisition, what I would consider is epidemic, and we need to start focusing on how do we generate more listings. And so that's what Fellow's really mission is centered around.
That's excellent, man. That's amazing growth. You said 1,200 teams using the platform right now?
Yeah, 1,200 teams.
That's fantastic, man. How did you guys grow so quickly in 2 years to get 1,200 teams?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So here's the thing is teams, us in the industry, and I'm included in the industry, right? When we know that our friends that are also in the industry that are like us are having success with something, there's normally trust and credibility built in from a conversion standpoint. Our conversion goes through the roof, right? So what we did was we were very fortunate. We started with some of the biggest teams in the country who I had personal relationships with, and almost more of like a beta perspective of saying, you should try this out. They tried it out. They were like, this is unbelievable what it's doing to our database and helping generate seller leads. And so we were able to very quickly, and within I'd say like 3 months, I would say market as a case study some of the biggest teams in the country having success with our platform, which then, as you can imagine, that spread to their friends, to their other people in their brokerages, and it just kept snowballing to a point where, I think we're at 60% of the Real Trends top 1,000 we're working with. And it's like, then the messaging with the cold outbound would be like, hey, we work with, 32% of the Real Trends top 1,000. I see that you're a part of that list. You should check this out. then our marketing messages, and it just kept snowballing. And so we really started with like the top teams first and started working our way downstream from there.
That's excellent. That's amazing. And the fact that you prove the case studies first to then be able to roll it out to everybody else is massively important. And you know what's so funny, man? What kind of timing is that? Then all of a sudden we've got these lawsuits now around being a buyer's agent, right? So not only did we have low inventory, so you guys are like at the front of the class for that one, but now with buyer agency really under attack and undergoing a massive shift, like you couldn't have timed it better, Ryan, I would say.
Well, and it's so funny because, and you know, I know we'll kind of talk about it, but it's like my real estate team has always been 60% plus listing based, 40% or less buyer based, right? We were never a big buyer lead, you know, team. We were never like a big, like Zillow Flex team, stuff like that. So this was always my philosophy in scaling a real estate company, you know, and one of the things that I'm able to do, our team sells 500 plus homes a year with 15 agents. I've been out of production for 4 years, but we've been able to do that because we've been able to do it through listings. And so I've always been really passionate about listings. Our messaging, when you land on our website, there's no like search for homes. It's more like get a guaranteed offer on your home, get your home value in seconds. All of our messaging is seller centric. When you Google us, you know, we have 1,100 five-star reviews because we know sellers are normally looking for agents on Google. Our local service, Google local service crushes because of the, so it's like we've always built in our foundation was always centered around sellers and generating listings. And so when all of this stuff over the past couple years from a lack of inventory from after COVID all the way through to the recent settlements, this is just things that I've been preaching from stages for the past, you know, 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
I started my business doing outbound expireds, outbound FSBOs. Like that's just the way I build my business. And so it's like, it's funny. Cause like we always joke like internally, you know, like we're the ones that started the, like the NAR, you know, rumors to get the whole class action lawsuit, because obviously like, once that happened, now all of a sudden agents are reaching out to us and saying, I need to take seller lead generation serious. I need to start having a plan around listings. And it's one of those things like, you know, obviously we wouldn't do that, but it's like, we've been saying like, exactly, we've been saying this for years. Everyone, whether this happened or not, we all need to have some sort of strategy and foundation around the seller side of the business.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was a longtime listing agent too. FSBOs expired, the whole thing. That's how I initially built my business. And, you know, there's always been this phrase in our industry, which I think that people have forgotten over the past 10 or 15 years, which is list to last, right? You know that.
I've been in the industry for 30 plus years. It's one of the first things she told me. Gary Keller used to say listings leads leverage, right?
Yep.
You got to list to exist. All these things around like, just once again, this is what I agree, and I'm starting to date myself on how long I've been in the industry, but it's like, I'm starting to like date myself of like, this is the philosophy of like, he who controls the inventory controls the market. Like all of these things that we just completely, and look, the industries change. Everything's a pendulum. It swings back and forth. But over the past, I would say probably decade, we became an industry obsessed with buyer lead acquisition. It was, how much money are you spending on Zillow and Realtor.com and Ojo and Google Pay-Per-Click and all these different things. And those are all great lead sources and they help you build your databases, but there's very little intentionality around what are you doing to actually generate sellers. When I ask agents and I talk to teams and, you know, who are onboarding with Velo, I normally ask them, you know, raise your hand if you've sold a listing or listed a property in the past 30 days and a couple hands go up. And I always ask them, great, where'd you get that listing from? And it's always the same, like, oh, I got referred by a past client. Oh, they're a past client. It's a sphere of influence. And it's like, well, that's awesome. But if you need to actually start proactively getting listings, where would you go? Because that's reactive. You're waiting for people to call you to say, hey, I don't know if you remember, but you sold our house 6 years ago, where it's time to sell, we want to buy something else. Or, hey, I've got a friend that's looking to sell their home. But if you need to be very intentional about generating seller leads or generating listings, what's your strategy? And so I'm really focused on helping basically teams, team leaders, and agents come up with a strategy on how to create predictability around long-term, you know, listings.
That's excellent. So let's get into it then. So obviously, yeah. Fellow is a listing lead generation platform, but for those who aren't familiar with how it works or what it is, or even this type of lead generation, can you just describe what it does, what the software does,
yeah.
and how I as an agent would use it?
Yeah, so, and it's not even really a seller lead generation platform. It's really a database engagement platform that focuses on seller conversion. So what we do, we've seen that about 80% of agents' databases consist of buyer leads or have no address attached to the contact, right? And we've seen that because, like I said, you know, you can buy a bunch of buyer leads, but it's kind of hard. You know, there hasn't been like a consistent source where people go to buy seller leads. And so it's just interesting that we said, wait, there's these massive databases that these teams and agents have, but they're like 80% buyer leads. And when I ask people, you know, right now, how many contacts do you have in your database? There's always a lot of pride in that answer. It's like 10,000, 40,000. Like, it's like, that's awesome. How many of those are local homeowners? And they always look at me like, well, how the hell should I know that? Like, how would I know? Like, you know, and it's like, well, if we want to start creating predictability around seller lead generation, let's start by building a database of actual homeowners that you can market to, and over a long period of time, build up a very big pipeline that you can incubate, right? And so the first thing that Fellow does from a database engagement standpoint is we start messaging the current homeowners that we know, the 20% of your database, with messaging really centered around the value of their home. Then we take the other 80% or whatever percentage it is of people that we have no idea where they live, and we start sending them messaging that actually is very intriguing for them to actually give you their address. And so what we're doing is every month we're trying to move the non-homeowners in your database into a homeowner position, and then we're trying to incubate the homeowners that we do know to start working their way down their funnel to essentially, when they're ready to list with you. So it's really this like database engagement component. And then we do all kinds of other really powerful things that are powered by data, mortgage data, MLS data, public record data, that starts to create a lot of intelligence around the messaging based off of the consumer's behaviors, both in and outside of the platform. And also, for example, someone that's lived in their home for over 20 years is probably more likely to transact than someone that's been in their home for less than two. Someone that just paid off their mortgage is probably less likely to list than someone that has a 3% mortgage on their property. So we leverage some of these really intelligent segments and these data data points to create segments to actually become really intelligent and strategic and relevant in our messaging, you know? So
that's great.
Super powerful. If you had to boil it down, it's database engagement, but we do it at a very high level and very focused on seller conversion.
So how do I use Fellow then? Yeah. I would plug it into my existing CRM, or do I export and import into Fellow? Am I working inside Fellow?
We have native integration. Yeah, we have native integrations with certain CRMs, but even if we don't, we two-way sync with pretty much all of them. So what you would do is you basically, we'd grab your CSV and we'd plug it into our platform, into Fellow. We would immediately enrich all the addresses within your database with a bunch of rich data, which would include things like mortgage data, public record data, MLS data, stuff like that. So we can start to already provide value just within your database of providing all these really relevant data points that would help you identify who I need to reach out to, when I need to reach out to them. And then what we do is we basically, any new lead that hits your database immediately syncs into Fellow. Any lead that is reconverted or engages in Fellow immediately pushes back into your CRM. And we basically, as soon as you start, we turn on. We started as email engagement. Now we're actually email and direct mail engagement. So all kinds of different intelligent automations and sequences, both email and direct mail. And our goal is to be your 24/7 kind of sales engine. Like, you shouldn't be thinking about, you know, your database being incubated. That's our job. All you need to do is have conversations with the people that are engaging with the engagement that we're doing.
Excellent. That sounds great. So what made you come up with this particular software?
So I'll give you just a super high level kind of like backstory. So I had the real estate team, still do, you know, selling a bunch of homes. We started the direct-to-consumer iBuyer called Flash House that we talked about. Flash House started seeing, I'd say, about 400 to 500 cash offer requests a month, which we were only buying 15 to 20 of them. So that was a lot of opportunities that we were pushing over to the young team. When the seller said, you know, that number's too low, we would be like, great, you should talk to our, you know, partner, the young team, you know, their number one team in Ohio, blah, 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 whatever, they can help you list your home. So we started to realize that there's a bigger opportunity with iBuying, which was, let's be the first like agent powered iBuyer. Let's be the first agent led iBuyer. And what we'll do is we'll have these agents sync their databases into our platform, and we'll start sending cash offer emails on behalf of the agent, so it's disguised to look like the agent is sending them. And then all we want is basically the opportunity to buy the home if someone requests a cash offer. The agent was really excited about it because now we started taking their database and shaking it up and creating all of these seller leads for them, right? So it was a total win-win, right? We didn't charge them anything. We just wanted the opportunities. Well, this was June of 22, and of course, interest rates went from like 3% to 6% from June of 22 to October of 22. And we just realized that the acquisitions were really hard for us, but there was something bigger there with the database engagement thing. So we launched Fellow in October of 22 with this idea, this will be a cash offer platform. And we're gonna help you generate cash offers. We're not gonna facilitate those, but you can go to any iBuyer or local investor, or you can buy them yourself.
Yeah.
But we're going to provide the software, the database engagement mechanism that's going to help you start generating all these cash offers out of your database. So we launched in October of 22, but then we started getting people reaching out that are like, this is really cool, but we don't do a cash offer program. So it's like, huh, well, that eliminates a large part of the agents in our country. So it's like, how do we take this though and make it valuable to every agent? And that's when we realized there's other ways to engage with the database besides just a cash offer message. We found that the home value message, although it's lower intent than a cash offer, is universal to every homeowner, right? If you own a home and you get a message that says, are you curious what your home is worth? That message is relevant to you. So although you're not looking to sell your home, it starts to get you into the funnel so that we can start incubating you further down the funnel. So what we found was we repositioned from cash offer to really the home value being the core pillar message. And then once you actually request your home value, then we start working you down with more seller-based messaging.
That all makes sense, man. That's a great story.
Yeah,
it's always interesting to know the backstory of how somebody ended up developing something.
It's literally been a complete iteration of feedback based off of clients, you know?
Yeah, that's fantastic. I can see how that would make a lot of sense, going to agents and just saying, hey, let's push this message out. Would you like to get a cash offer on your property? I'm assuming, do you guys still do that sort of messaging right now? Even if I signed up for Fellow, even if I don't have a cash offer, I feel like, you know, just in your training of your clients, just teaching them, find one investor in your market and you can get a cash offer. You don't have to do it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing. I am a huge, huge advocate for a cash offer program. I think a cash offer program gives you leverage to be able to open up conversations with investors in your market that are looking to buy these homes, and you become the bridge or the conduit from, you know, homeowner to investor, and you become the marketplace if you're not looking to actually purchase them. I think so many people are like, but I don't want to buy homes. It's like, you don't have to. You know, it's one of those things, like, use this as a lead gen tool to go reach out to every single person that's flipping homes, that owns, look up. What we used to do was we would go into the auditor and identify anyone that purchased homes in an LLC. And then we would look up that LLC and see how many other properties they owned. And so they'd own 10 properties, 14 properties. It looks like a bunch of rentals that they own. We'd find the managing member of the LLC. We'd get their contact information. I'd send them a message. And look at how easy of a conversation this is. You know, Dale, hey, it's Ryan with the Young Team. I saw you own about 14 doors over in the Lakewood area. If I come across a smoking hot deal, would you want me to send it over your way? And they'd be like, yeah, absolutely. Of course. Like, awesome. And hey, what else are you looking for? Tell me more about what you're looking for. And by the way, you have 14 properties. Would you consider selling any of those? It just starts to create engagement. And then what I would do is, if I got a call in Lakewood where someone said, I really need to sell here's why I want to get a cash offer, I would reach out to you and say, look, I've got a great opportunity. They don't want to take it to market. Is this something you might be interested in? I'm creating the marketplace. What Zillow did was create a marketplace, right? What Realtor.com did is create a marketplace. It's our responsibility, in my opinion, as agents to create a marketplace. And the cash offer is a very nice vehicle, in my opinion. And let's just say we have some people that are like, well, I'm in a luxury market, you know? How many people do you know that have VRBOs or, you know, short-term rentals in luxury markets where you're spending $7,000 a week to stay at a beachfront house or $10,000 a week or whatever it is? Find the owners of those properties, because some of them own more than one, and say, if I come across a deal that I can get you for $1.5 or $2 million and it could cash flow $500,000 a year from short-term rental income, is that something you'd be open to? It just opens up conversations, you know? So yeah. I'm such a huge fan of it.
That's excellent, man. So who would you say is a fellow's best for? Who's your ideal client?
I would say our ideal client is someone, you know, without creating like an avatar of like who they are and what their business looks like, I really think our ideal client is someone that wants to do one of two things. They want to build their database or become more intentional with their database, or they really want to start becoming serious and intentional about seller conversion, right? We have hundreds and hundreds of individual agents, and we have hundreds of big mega teams and all the way small teams all the way through, enterprise clients that are large corporations that, you know, are in the real estate space or the prop tech space. So I say it because, like, not to define like what the ideal client looks like, it's more of what the ideal client's motivation is around listings, around seller lead generation. We have some clients that have come to us that are 85, 90% buyer business. And the only reason why they've come to us is over the past month or two, there's been a lot more, I would say, conversation and dialogue around the priorities of seller lead generation and having listing-based business. I don't think that if the industry would have seen what we've seen over the past couple months, they might have not had any interest in a seller lead gen platform. They might have been very happy with their 90% buyer-based business, which is completely okay and respectable. They run nice businesses. But I think that it's for the people that really want to start getting serious about generating listings, about creating predictability around seller lead generation and listing conversion.
Okay. I think that makes sense. And I think you're right. There's such a big push right now for listings. So I like to ask this of all vendors, because we know that as agents, as business owners, a lot of times we're looking for the silver bullet, right? We're looking for the magic pill that's going to make it rain leads that are just ready to close. So who does not do so well on your platform?
Oh, that's a really good question. So our platform is an engagement platform. We do not call the homeowners for you. We do not go on the appointments for you. So, you know, I think maybe we should, and maybe we should charge more, you know, charge 40% or whatever they're charging these days. But I would say really the people that they just don't want to have a conversation with, you know, they're just not comfortable talking on the phone or texting or emailing with a potential prospect. And I know that's like, who doesn't want to do that? Why would you be in this industry? But there are some people that, you know, call us up and they're like, it's not working. And it's like, well, let's just really quick here. This is super interesting. So listen to this. We, when we started about 6 months in, we started generating and reconverting all of these homeowners out of their database. And we're like, this is amazing. And then all of a sudden we got some calls from a few clients that are like, it's really cool, but like these leads suck. And it's like, well, first off, they're your leads. We're not selling you new leads. We're just helping you create hand raisers out. Like, and so we were like, but do they really suck? And when we were an iBuyer, what was interesting was we had a mechanism internally. We built this whole entire acquisition platform. And we had this mechanism internally that it basically tracked every address of the people that we received the cash offer request on. Because what we were looking for was to see how long it took from when they requested the cash offer to when they went to market. what we offered on their property to what they listed for, and then what ultimately they sold for. So we used it more from a standpoint of like accountability to our pricing analyst and to observing the data of, you know, what actually was happening with these people that were requesting cash offers. So we fast forward to Fellow, we said, well, wait, we had this mechanism that tracked addresses to see if they ever transacted, right? What about if we apply that to the platform? So we, about probably 6 months ago, and launched something called Real Sellers, which is basically it scans your database every day and it looks for any address in your database that lists their home with or without you, sure, or sells off market. All of a sudden we launched it and we didn't even tell anyone. It was just like, we literally were just like, let's just see what happens, right? We start getting like this craziness on like the Fellow platform and engagement and all these people reaching out to us. What is this? What is this? And then obviously we told people within like two days, like, we're super excited for this new feature, right? And all of a sudden the teams that were like, these leads suck, are like, ugh, we suck. Whoops. At follow up, we suck, yeah, at conversion. And they started, yeah, realizing that like, damn, Fellow is creating a lot of engagement with people that are actually going to market, and we never even called them. Or we called them once, but they ended up listing their home 6 months later. Why didn't we follow up for the next 6 months? Yeah. And so when we talk about like who's not a good fit, I mean, you have to accept ownership that like, we're going to create engagement within your database, and the people we're creating engagement with are going to list their homes. It's, yep, just a matter of, do they list them with you or without you? We kind of lose a little bit of control outside of the engagement component, and we really need our agents. And this is something we're actually like becoming a community as, is like best practices. And something that I'm doing that's unique is I actually just March 11th launched a 30-day listing appointments at challenge for myself. I'm on day 23. I've set 21 listing appointments in the first 23 days. And I'm walking through the entire process and posting the live calls within the Fellow community and basically saying like, guys, all I'm doing is calling out of our database. All I'm doing is calling people that are engaged with us through Fellow. Like, if I can do it, I haven't been in production for 4 years. We all can do this. We need to come together, right? Let Fellow create the incubation, but let's work on best practices, scripting, conversion strategy, stuff like that. I know you're, you know, deep in the space, you get it. Like, this is, yeah, this is where right now there's a big disconnect within our industry of like, you know, if we don't learn how to convert, we are going to continue to be paying 40% to people to give us warm leads, right? Like bottom of funnel leads, but we need to be able to take top of funnel leads, incubate them over a long period of time, and then learn how to convert them into revenue and not pay 40%. So there's still margin there, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely, man. That's I remember you telling me that you were doing that personal challenge where you were doing the 30 listings. Yeah. It was, I mean, 30 listings in 30 days.
Yeah.
That's great, man. And I'm glad to see that you're still doing it and posting the results. That's fantastic. So yeah, I mean, I have a whole business built around teaching agents how to convert, and one of the biggest things that I find, I you know, not everybody is going to be a contract killer when it comes to, you know, generating and having conversations, but I do find that we make a massive impact in agents' willingness to have those conversations when they feel more prepared and confident and practiced. When we remove a lot of that fear, you know, I'd say that's probably 50% of what holds them back. So it's great to see you stepping up and doing that stuff and publishing it. So if I read between the lines on Ryan's behalf, everybody, Fellow does not work for people who think they can just throw some money at it and it's going to, you know, it's going to pop up a couple of appointments on their schedule who are then going to sign listing paperwork. It don't work that way, right? No, you got to actually put the work
in. It doesn't work that way. It's not priced that way. Our mission, our motive is, how do we help you start to get more out of what you've already bought, bring profit back? You know, there is margin within this industry, and it's getting harder and harder as there's commission compression and there's dilution of quality of leads and conversion of leads. So it's like, if you're not getting conversion out of those, out of your existing, what you've already acquired, and you're only relying on converting new opportunities, it is very hard to preserve, it's very hard to preserve profitability, in my opinion.
Yeah, Absolutely. So how much, you know, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you is what's your personal theory on automated communication? You know, I'm assuming that, you know, a lot of fellow, the approach, what it does and how it does it probably reflects your own personal style and what you found to work. So how much automation does fellow do? How much is too much? How much, you know, how little is too little? Like, how do you guys balance what you automate versus when you expect a live salesperson to jump in and take over?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is the intelligence, where we're starting to get to from an intelligence perspective, is becoming very intuitive to the consumer's behaviors. To increase frequency and strength of message as the behavior is showing higher intent, and then getting those type of opportunities to agents, you know, creating awareness around their increase in engagement. And that their behaviors are suggesting that there's a higher propensity for them to sell. And then, you know, on the flip side, like, what I would not recommend for agents is, I would not recommend going into a cold, dark, deep database and just starting to call people randomly with nothing to call them with, right? Like, what we do is, like, our job is to basically create that baseline engagement. It doesn't mean you can't call them after we engage with them, but if you're thinking of conversion, if you're trying to be as efficient as possible, the most important thing to do is engage with the people that already know who your name is. You've provided them something of value, right? And so what we're doing is we're trying to create that engagement for you to come back in over the top, and it's a much warmer phone call versus who do I call in my database, you know? So I'd say it's 75% intuitive of, like, focusing on, like, the behaviors and letting the automations do their thing. But there's also still some manual intervention that needs to come in to say, although this person hasn't engaged, or, you know, I'll give you an example. If you think of circle prospecting, like, if you have a reason to reach out to someone that hasn't engaged, but it's a really good reason to reach out, you don't need a manual engagement tool, essentially, to warm that opportunity up. If I call you and say, Dale, hey, it's Ryan with the Young Team. Just really quick, wanted to let you know, we have great news. We just sold your neighbor's home down the street in a 14-way multiple offer. We have 13 buyers, unfortunately, that weren't able to buy that home. And so who would you know who in the neighborhood would consider selling their home, right? Like, there's still that component that, like, we don't need the, it's not like I would say I would never call Dale with this information because he's never opened an email from us, right? Or he's never checked his home value. That's still an important component of our business as real estate agents, that, like, if we want to scale, these are good opportunities to get that message in front of you, to try to create the engagement. And even if you say no, I can still leave the conversation saying, completely understand. And by the way, I have this really cool technology that gets you your home's value, most accurate tool on the market. Would you want me to send that over to you? Great. Awesome. I put you into the database. Next thing you know, I'm incubating you. And now you move into the incubated side of, you know, of our database.
Yeah, that's excellent. And then your tool is keeping track of them until they start throwing more signals, and then it prompts me to get in front of them again.
100%.
Love it. Excellent. Ryan, since you're in the tech space, buddy, what's the inside scoop on AI? Where's this going? When is an automated or robotic Dale going to sell for me, and I can just, you know, cash the checks in Barbados?
Man, that's a bar. Yours is Barbados. I like it. I gotta figure out something for me to go. It's a great question. I would say I am still bullish on the relationship business that we're in, and still believe that AI will make things more efficient. They will become an enabler or enablement tool for us. I still, this decade, right, still do not see AI disrupting the real estate space from the relational side of what we do. I know that there is going to be ways that AI will chip away, and maybe the consumer might find us a little bit less valuable because some of the things they could potentially do on their own and stuff like that. But what I still think is when a buyer is walking from a deal because of an inspection, when a seller has 12 offers and they don't know which one to pick, when a house has been on a market for 3 weeks and they don't know the appropriate strategy on how they reposition their home, you know, when a buyer is a first-time home buyer and they've never purchased a home before, when you know, this goes on and on, all these different scenarios where they want to call their agent. And I just think, to the agents that are listening, just think of the clients, the homeowners, the buyers that you're working with. Just think of the phone calls you've received in the past 30 days and ask yourself, can you be replaced with, when someone has that question, can ChatGPT replace you with that? Do they feel confident and comfortable asking some sort of artificial intelligent, machine learning based type of platform, something that is emotionally based that impacts them, right? And I it'll be really interesting to see how wrong I am. I just don't see it though.
I agree. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that our industry still exists. Otherwise, you know, tech would have taken us out a long time ago.
For sure.
if it was that easy to do. Excellent. So what are your best tips for follow-up messaging, cadence, etc.? You know, if I'm on your team and I'm working in the system, what are some things that you constantly have to repeat to your salespeople or that you have to repeat to your clients?
I love this because I'm literally repeating it every day to fellow clients and to our salespeople. You have to ask every single person you're talking to, and let's just keep this seller facing right now, not even buyer facing, although it's applicable to buyers. You have to ask every seller you talk to this one question. And if you don't ask every homeowner, not even seller, every homeowner you talk to this one question, it is, if there's an opportunity to sell your home, even if it was off market and it made financial sense, would you be open to looking at an offer? And I am setting all of these listing appointments by asking that one question. And what I tell people is, when you're talking to, right now with what I'm doing and the way I'm setting all of these listing appointments, I go into every single phone call talking to every single homeowner with the mindset that they are going to sell their home. It's just a matter of when, right? Not if they are going to sell their home. It's a matter of when they are going to sell their home. And so the reason why I asked this question, if it made financial sense, would you be open to looking at an offer? What I'm really doing is I'm really trying to identify their motivation for when they are planning on selling their home, right? Because if they say, sure, I'd be open to it. Well, great. Where would you go if you accepted the offer? And now I go really deep into discovery and focus on discovery of, okay, so I know that you have a junior in high school. You can't sell your home for another 2 years because you don't want to leave the district. But in 2 years from now, you could be a seller. And I need to make sure my follow-up is accordingly, right? Plan is accordingly. I might talk to you and you might say, I have no plans on leaving my home ever. I love this house. I will never leave here until I die. Okay, I need to track the obituaries to see when you actually going to sell the home.
But I'm going to go to the insurance. Table just to figure out how long I think you have.
Like, you know, so all right,
the actuary table.
Yeah, you look about 44 years old, so I should be like, I'm 40, so I should be like 84 based on the average life expectancy when I get your listing. But my point is that if you ask every person this, the mistake that agents make with the script is when they say, yes, I would be open to looking at an offer, the way I've kind of built that question is really just to get them to say yes, right? It's a pretty low, non-committal type of question.
It's hard to say no to that.
It's hard to say no. If there was an opportunity, who doesn't want an opportunity to sell your home, even if it was off market? I'm not even talking about listing it. And it made financial sense. Who wants to say no to something that makes financial sense? Would you be open to looking at an offer? Not even would you be open to selling your home. Not would you sell your home. Would you be open to looking at an offer? When they say yes, the mistake is you don't say, great, can I come over tomorrow? What works better for you, mornings or afternoons? That's where you say, that's incredible. Where would you go if you accepted the offer? Which really I'm trying to do is, all I want to say is, if they say, I have no idea, well, what would you change about your current home, right? I'm trying to, and I have all these, from these calls, these appointments that I've set, it's amazing how people start to open up when they're, you know, all of a sudden it comes into, well, you know, we've always said we need more space, or we need a finished basement, or we need more land, or whatever it is. Cool. If I could find you something with more land that has a little bit more space than a finished basement, would you want me to send it over to you? Once again, I'm not closing for an appointment. I'm providing them value. And they, a lot of times, are like, well, yeah, of course, that'd be great if you could. Cool. If you found that perfect home, if I sent you that perfect home, what would you want to do with your home? Would you want to sell it first, or would you want to wait until you bought the new home? Well, we'd have to sell ours first. Okay, let's do this. I don't mind swinging by, but I come across a lot of inventory that might actually check those boxes. Let me swing by. Let's get a real assessment of your home. Let's learn a little bit more about what that perfect home looks like for you, and then we can come up with a plan from there. How does that sound? But I save the appointment all the way down till navigating through this discovery conversation before I'm getting too antsy to jump in and go and say, when can I come over? If you try to close too quickly, it immediately you get pushback, right?
Love it.
Focus strictly on pain and motivation, and you start going deep into discovery, and that's where you start to have a lot of success.
Excellent. So when we steal that and put it into our training, we'll call it the Ryan Young method for getting the face.
Trust me, look, sharing is caring. We can all do it. They got to actually, they just like our platform, when it comes to we can create the engagement, they actually have to call them. You know, it's like, it's the same thing. Anyone can have this script, use this script, just use it, right? We did a call night on the Young team last week, and I did some live calls for the team. And they were just like, whoa, this is how it goes. And then we went and I sat next to a mother on the phone. I kept like pressing the mute button. I'm like, say if there was an offer, you know, and then they'd be like, if they're going to be all chopped up and like, we're like, they're reading it. And it's like, the person would be like, yeah, I'd be open to that. And they're like, really?
And then the salesperson gets shocked. They're like, oh shit, wait, what do I do now?
What is it? What should I do? And they like press me. They're like, hold on 1 second. What should I do? It's like, what do you mean? Did you talk to them? Like, they just said they'd be open to an opportunity. Learn more about what an opportunity looks like, you know?
That reminds me of the first for sale by owner that I called, who said, yes, I could come to their house and talk to them about how I could list it and get it sold for more. And I was like, what do I do now? Like, I wasn't expecting that.
I've got a great for sale by owner. Actually, I called this guy like 8 times, left him voicemails each time. Hey, it's Ryan with the Young team. You know, saw you're selling your house by owner. I see the sign out front. You know, I'd love to talk to you about how I can help you sell your home, but I don't know, whatever. Finally, he picks up the phone after like the 8th time. And he was literally on my way to my office, so I see it every day. So I call every day when I'm driving by. And I finally picked up, I'm like, oh my God, you picked up. Like, you know, my name's Ryan. He's like, I know who you are. I get your messages every day. And I'm like, so I'd love to talk to you about how I can help you sell your home. He's like, do you not see the red Camaro sitting in the lawn with the sign for sale by owner in front of it? He's like, we're selling the car, not our house. And I'm like, oh my God. And then of course, every day I drove by and I'm like, I'm such an idiot. Like, how could I not notice, like, realize that like the car was literally sitting and there was like a for sale by owner somewhere. And I'm like, I'm an idiot.
That's
like,
great.
You know, I had a little bit of PTSD the next like 400 bizbos I called. Like, you're not selling your car, are you? Oh, you're selling your car. So that's why I'm calling. My name's Ryan Young with the Young team. So
that's so funny.
Yeah. So some of the stories from back in the day when used to hit it pretty hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Excellent. So, you know, I have some of our best clients use Fello. My good friend Greg Harrelson turned me on to Fello. You know, and I know a lot of people that are crushing it with your app. So thanks for putting that together. And by the way, if you're listening to this, we do have an affiliate link that you can grab. And if you sign up for Fello through that link, you can get up to 20% off on using the app. And, you know, I only talk about stuff that either I've used personally or that I have clients who are using and finding success with. So if you fit into that category of an agent or team or brokerage that wants to really attack the listing side and drive that part up in your business, you're tired of just relying on buyers, and you want to work and you want to have conversations, you want to check out Fello. So, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today, man. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day.
Yeah, this was awesome. And, you know, love, you know, chatting with like-minded people like myself. So I appreciate you having me on.
Excellent. Thank you so much, man.
Cool. See ya.
All right, cool. So I think I had a couple of other, oh shit, I was going to ask you this. So Ryan, what podcasts or books, or give me, what are you studying right now? Who are you listening to, or where are you getting your info? Whether it's podcasts, whether it's news sites, or whether it's books, what should our listeners be listening to or engaging with?
So I'm like, this is probably not what most would say, or probably not, kind of a conventional answer, but I'm actually like going really deep in like content creation right now, and really trying to challenge myself and do something that I really haven't done much. I listen to a lot of Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, Alex Hormozy. I'm really big into like the marketing side of, obviously Fellow has like a large marketing component and the psychology behind marketing. So, some Neil Patel and like stuff like that. So it's like nothing real estate even driven, I would say entrepreneurship and like content creation is where I'm like really like doubling down on, and just like learning from these guys that have built massive businesses all through free distribution of content. And so it's just kind of become like an obsession over the past, like I'd say 6 months or so.
I think that makes a lot of sense, man. If you look at Krista Mayshore, you look at Gogo Bethke, like they're content creators.
They're content creators.
They're not so much, they don't sell all the real estate on the planet. They're much more about celebrity and content creation, and that they have massive followings and they do really good at that stuff. So I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, one of the things that I've noticed with real estate teams and brokerages is that for the most part, they aren't super creative about content creation. And I would say that, I'm learning, as you probably are, it's much more about how good your content is and whether people want to consume it versus how good you are at selling houses.
100%. And I've seen that just from me being a listener of content, a consumer essentially. And so I'm finding myself like, I'm really intrigued and attracted to this thing that they're doing or whatever it is. And it's like, why am I? Oh, because they're providing me a ton of value. They're constantly giving value. And so I've just found that like, all right, how can I provide as much value as possible? It's one of the reasons why I'm doing the 30 listing day challenge is like, and I'm documenting the entire process. You know, it's like, it's funny because if you could see, I have like all these cameras and lights around my desk right now. And it's like, if you would have asked me 3 months ago, I'd be like, there's no way I'm sitting in front of a camera all day long. But it's like, we're documenting this entire process. And then what I'll do is I'll document the entire growth of Fellow, how we grew Fellow and what this, and it's like, it's just one of those things that I just am very kind of like fascinated with right now.
Yeah, that's excellent. Okay, awesome, man. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, this is definitely, love to participate in stuff like this.
Thanks for listening to Cash Call today. If you like what you heard, come check us out at smartsalescoaching.com, and we'll be back again next week.